under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. I'm gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Welcome back into the show, third and final hour on this hump day Wednesday, October the 11th, 2023 edition, Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Sue, she wanted to know the bill numbers for the four Mike Dugan Land Tax Equity Act. It's not landfill tax, it's land tax equity. Their House bills 4966, 67, 68, 69, and 70. Actually, a total of five. 4966 through 4970. Downstate Kim provided me the bills. I got the track number. The story. This was bills that were introduced back in February of 2021. 2021. That was when the Republicans had control of the House and the Senate. How come they didn't go through? Because the Republicans, under the Speaker and Senate Majority Leader, didn't like his bill. State Representative Bradley Slagg introduced legislation that would give more control to local communities on how speed limits are determined on their local roads. Back then, it was House Bill 4014 was introduced in the House of Representatives January 26, 2021. It would allow local governments to determine speed limits based on road speed study tests, giving them the option to round down instead of rounding up. What does that mean? Under the current laws, speed limits are set on a 85 percentile of the average driver's speed on any given road. Communities then round to the nearest multiple of 5 miles per hour. So they look at the 85th percentile of speed, and then they usually round up. For example, if a speed test study finds 85th percentile speed is 37.6 miles per hour, then the law requires them to allowed them to round it up to 40. Slagg, Republican from Zealand, believes giving local communities more control over the roads in their areas would improve road safety. It gives them just a little flexibility without really impacting how the flow of traffic is happening on the roadway. Slagg said he was approached by law enforcement officials, from the city of Holland, as well as the city of Norton Shores in Muskegon County about the issue. He's also had discussions with the Michigan State Police, cyclist groups, and others. He's hopeful the bill, which currently does not have any co-sponsors, can garner bipartisan support and eventually become law. So this is how he's going to trade off his yes vote for Dugin's Land Tax Equity Act. I'll vote yes to replace a Democrat, but you got to pass my speed limit bill. Why? Folks, if 85 percentile of the people drive at 37.6 miles per hour and they can lower the speed limit to 35, what can they give you? A ticket. Oh, you're going 3 miles an hour over the speed limit, so we're going to give you a ticket. More revenue to the local cities and police departments. This guy is a traitor when it comes to freedom for Michigan drivers. He's getting paid his name. Good break. We'll be right back.
If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Eagles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
It's fall in Tuscarora Township and Indian River. A beautiful symphony of nature's dazzling colors of ambers, reds, and yellows. Golden Burt Lake sunsets and the crisp, clean air of northern Michigan. Enjoy our beautiful trails and byways. Fish and boat our clean waters. And meet the friendly people in our community.
Township Supervisor Bob Kramer, we love this place and you will too. That's why I paid for this message.
Little Traverse Disposal in Harbor Springs supports this radio station, and we would like you to support them. Little Traverse Disposal is locally owned with hardworking guys that provide professional trash disposal for your home or business. You're already spending the money. Why not support a Northern Michigan-owned company who supports us? So call them today at 231-487-0780. Again, 231-487-0780.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second segment of hour number three. You remember the discussion we had couple of weeks ago about Karen Whitsitt, state representative Democrat from Detroit, who would not give her blessing in committee and said she would not vote for the Reproductive Health Act package of bills if they paid for abortions using Medicaid dollars. Well, the House committee didn't take a vote on it, recommending the full floor vote in the House. It's been sitting there since September 20th. However, the Senate took up the bills in the Senate Housing and Human Services Committee yesterday, and it did not include the language for Medicaid-funded abortions. 20 days ago, while sending its own version of the Reproductive Health Act legislation to the House floor to be eventually voted on chamber-wide, the House Health Policy Committee did not take action on House Bills 4958 and 4959, which would repeal the bans on indigent individuals using Medicaid to fund an abortion. The Senate bills do much of what the legislation now sitting on the House floor would do, like eliminating various sentencing guidelines related to partial birth abortions, abortion-related deaths, and the disclosure of certain confidential information, and updating how abortion is defined in the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. Similar to the House legislation, the Senate bills will also permit a higher education institution's Pregnant and Parenting Student Services office so that they can now start making referrals to abortion services, which right now under the Republicans, it was passed. Higher education, colleges, universities could not make those referrals. Sources confirmed that Senate bills 474 through 477 are identical to the House counterparts, with the Medicaid funding of abortions not included. So Karen Whitsitt, one lone Democrat state representative from Detroit, has basically killed this. Now the Senate is tie-barring bills similar to the legislation in the House, and let's see where this goes. Senator Sarah Anthony, one of the lead sponsors of the Reproductive Health Act, said, as with any set of bills, there have been ongoing negotiations between the Senate and the House to deliver a comprehensive package to the governor's desk. While I can't comment on the specifics of any ongoing negotiations, I look forward to working with my colleagues in the Senate and House to deliver policy that protects the right to an abortion in Michigan. The absence of Medicaid-related proposals paying for abortions with Medicaid dollars, Senate committee hearing came right after Governor Gretchen Whitmer explained to the media on Monday that she would like to see the package as introduced hit my desk soon. According to a national January poll published by Ipsos, a marketing research company, using a sample of 455 Democrats, only 361 Republicans, and 188 independents, 58% of the respondents say they supported expanding Medicaid insurance to cover all pregnancy-related care, including abortion. Really? You're telling me almost 6 out of 10 people support taxpayer dollars paying for abortion? Well, the House Fiscal Agency calculated that Medicaid costs would increase, and I don't even understand how they could be so loose in their numbers, could increase anywhere from $2 million to $6 million a year if Medicaid abortion coverage was passed. Presently, a Medicaid recipient in Michigan could access abortion coverage following cases of rape or incest, or, of course, the non-existent life of the mother argument was being used. The patient's life, not the woman's life, the patient's life was endangered by the pregnancy. Kind of interesting they used the word patient instead of woman. If House Bill 4959 is approved, a person's Medicaid health coverage could pay for abortion. Well, again, as I already stated, during the House Health Policy Committee meeting on September 20th, six Democrats went forward and adopted the 11 Reproductive Health Acts bills, except for State Representative Karen Whitson of Detroit. Flat out said, sorry, Medicaid-related portion, I'm voting against it. And will vote against all the other remaining pieces of the package. So I'm off the bill. You're from 56 down to 55. You can't get it passed in the House. So the Senate, hearing Karen's position, didn't include it in the Senate versions. She simply said some of her Democratic colleagues were not in support of Medicaid-funded abortions. Her district, mostly seniors, need those Medicaid dollars to supplement Medicare. And I'm not going to allow that money to be spent on abortions, period. Well, you got to look at her district. Evidently, her area of Detroit has a lot of seniors in it. Are they able to get pregnant? No. So why spend the money on abortions when they need it to supplement Medicare? They don't make enough money. They need Medicaid to supplement Medicare. That's what Karen wants the money sent and spent on. Well, in yesterday's Senate Housing and Human Services Committee, she zoomed in on those bills. And the chair, Anthony, highlighted how Senate Bill 474 would eliminate the mandates for abortion care providers to report data on specific type of abortions. Again, getting back into partial birth business. Yeah, you can tear the baby apart, pull it out piece by piece, lay the parts on a tray, lay them all out to make sure you got them all, before you continue on finishing up the abortion. Vacuuming out the uterus, making sure you got all the parts, because of course you can sell those baby parts. And also, another portion connected to the 24-hour informed consent law, that would also be repealed. Right now, the Republicans, under Snyder, passed it that there had to be a 24-hour informed consent signed by the patient, that once she saw an ultrasound of the baby in her womb, she'd have 24 hours to go home and think about it. Well, they're going to repeal that as well. Dr. Haley Christman, adjunct clinical assistant professor of gynecology obstetrics at the University of Michigan's Medical Center, said informed consent disproportionately impacts people who can't take the additional time off from work to come back the next day for the abortion. Repealing Michigan's 24-hour delay does not change the medical standard of providing patients with truly informed consent. It simply prevents the unnecessary delay of real health care. Again, calling an abortion real health care. Illustrating how current mandates hold patients up from carrying out their truly needed health care. Dr. Sarah Wallet, Planned Parenthood of Michigan's chief medical operating officer, described to the committee how last month she presented state-required information to a patient on having other options outside of an abortion, and that she should consider prenatal care and adoption, something she had to tell the patient during the 24-hour waiting period. This was despite both of us knowing that she was not able to continue her pregnancy. She very much wanted it, but wasn't able to do it. Her pregnancy had an anomaly incompatible with her life, and to her, abortion was her only option. Okay, doctor, specifically, I want to know, without violating any HIPAA regulations, I want to know exactly what that anomaly incompatible with her life was. Then I'm going to talk to Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, internal medicine physician. 65% of her patients are women. I want you to explain that anomaly to her. Are you making it up? Or is it really scientifically an accurate statement? She went on to testify that the patient asked me with tears in her eyes why I had to force her to look at this information and force her to wait, which only made it harder for her and her family. My only response is because that is our current state law and it requires me to do so. So this is the testimony they're listening to get rid of this Republican legislation. On the other side of the conversation, Genevieve Marnin, Michigan Right to Life's legislative director, I've had her on the show before, said she hopes women who choose abortion, although she hopes they make the choice for life, are in safe, licensed, and inspected clinics that have oversight. If you premise your conversation that doctors will regulate themselves, then why do we have any licensing requirements on abortion facilities? Why don't we just trust those doctors to regulate themselves? The point of the matter is no industry is left to regulate itself. These are common sense regulations that keep women safe if they choose abortion. The Senate panel heard testimony on these bills, but they didn't take up any votes. They didn't pass it out of committee. You see, they have to do this, folks, because they have to pass these bills to implement Proposal 3. Because the people of Michigan were conned into voting for it, now they got to change the state laws. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.